Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. We're talking about the off-season training program. OTAs start next week. To talk about all matters Packers, this morning I have a guest joining us on the line. I have the newest member of Cheesehead TV. His name is Robert Olson. Robert, how you doing this morning?
Great. Thanks for having me on, Brian.
No problem. Glad to be joining. Glad to have you join us. Now, Robert, you're a student at TCU, Texas Christian. How far along are you in your studies?
Well, I just finished my junior year, and I'm actually taking a summer class the first part of May here, and I'm going to be graduating about a year from now. So I'm going to be a senior this coming year. So that's where I'm at right now in life. So.
Well, very good. I wish you the best of luck. Are you a Horned Frog season ticket holder?
Well, I might be once I graduate, but actually we have a pretty sweet deal. We just have an ID card, and they swipe it. We just have to give it to them, and they swipe it for every home game. So I get to go into every home game for free. And I am planning on you can buy away tickets for away games, so I might go to an away game, but that's how that goes. It's a pretty sweet deal. So
that is pretty definitely. Nice. That's better than it was at the University of Wisconsin where I went. I had to pay for every game. I mean, as a student, you get pretty cheap tickets. But do you like what Gary Patterson is doing there? They seem to have taken a step backwards since joining the Big 12, but it was a big step up in competition.
Yes, it was a big step up. 2012 was the first year we went into the Big 12, and I thought we competed pretty well. Of course, the defense under Gary Patterson is unbelievable, one of the top defenses perennially in the nation, and I think the defense will be even better this year. The problem is the quarterback position, and as we know, you know, with any football team, you can have the greatest defense in the world, but if you don't address the quarterback position, that could be problematic, and we'll just have to see. That's what all the success is hinging on, whether the quarterback position gets all cleared up. But no, yeah, Coach Patterson's scheme and his players, they recruit pretty well, and I'm excited for this coming season.
Well, very cool. But let's talk some Packers here. This is a Packers podcast. You've began some X's and O's analysis at Breakdown here at Cheesehead TV, Robert, a multi-part series. Your last piece was on Micah Hyde and how he could potentially be used as a nickel linebacker, dime cornerback, that kind of thing. Do you now the Packers use that sparingly with Charles Woodson as a nickel linebacker, very sparingly. I mean, how likely do you think this is something that takes place with Micah Hyde?
I think it's a possibility. I mentioned in my article that it is weaker against the run. However, we've seen some, you know, obviously it's a passing league, and that's almost cliche at this point. And the rate at which offenses are bringing out 11 personnel onto the field, which is one running back, one tight end, three wide receivers, you know, the 4-2-5 nickel package is what most defenses use to counter that. However, you have the natural mismatch of a tight end on a linebacker, even in zone coverage, if he has to carry that tight end up the seam. So, you know, with, you know, Brad Jones and A.J. Hawk in there, there's going to be some heavy competition for Brad Jones' spot, I believe. But I think it would tighten up the coverage much more if you put Micah Hyde as that second linebacker, dime cornerback hybrid. So essentially, the Packers would have their nickel and dime defense out there already. So it would help against the no huddle. And it'd be more, you know, more stout against the pass because Micah Hyde would be covering tight ends man to man, and that would help against teams like the Saints, especially against the Lions now that they have Pettigrew and Eric Ebron that they drafted in the first round. So I think it's a possibility. It was just an idea off the top of my head. It's a way to use Micah Hyde since he might not be starting back at safety since Clinton Dix was picked. So it's just a way that Hyde could be used. He's a talented football player going into his second year. I think it's a way that he could be used. And I have some numbers here that 11 personnel, three wide receivers, was used 51.2% of the time in 2013. So you have to respond to that.
You say, the run defense might be a little bit weaker, but any time the Packers would use this sort of package, hypothetically, it would be, second and 10, third and 10, third and long, things like that. So you would think that, it's probably, those aren't really running situations, right?
You're exactly right. And, Dom Capers, he puts the nickel out there approximately 70% of the time. But at the same time, the Packers will still continue to play the 3-4 base defense. That's not going away. And you're exactly right. I think this is a very feasible idea. If you're facing an offense that bases out of their, 11 personnel and you feel like their running game is pretty strong, then, Capers might feel like he might need to put two pure inside linebackers out there. However, I think, the Chiefs, in my article, I mentioned the Chiefs and how Eric Berry, they put him down in that nickel linebacker dime corner spot. So I think it's very doable. And, I think you can give up the run a little bit in order to play the pass pretty well.
We're talking to Robert Olson here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central, the newest member of Cheesehead TV. Robert, give me a little preview. What's your next piece in your X's and O's series going to be about? Not that you have to go into all the details, but who is it going to be about?
Well, I think the final part, the fourth part of the four-part series of the most intriguing Packers players, will be another defensive player. They've all been defense so far. It was Casey Hayward, then Mike Daniels, and then Micah Hyde. I'm going to do B.J. Raji for the fourth part, and I'm working on that right now. And I'm going to, compare, how he played at the nose tackle position back in 2010 and how the Packers kind of phased him out of that and moved him to defensive end, particularly mainly the three technique spot in the under front, in the 3-4 under front, at where he plays on the outside shade of the guard. And I don't know if, I don't know if it's motivation problems. I don't know if that's, not a natural fit for him, but I do think he is more natural at nose tackle. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Tell me, Robert, your reaction to the draft. I mean, you kind of got into it briefly there about Clinton Dix, but I mean, and how that impacts Micah Hyde. But did you like the pick of Clinton Dix in the first round?
I think it was a logical selection. I think he and Darquez Dennard were probably the two best players on the board at that point. And, of course, I think it was a good value pick and it addressed the need. So I think Ted Thompson did a really good job. Fans were wanting safety or inside linebacker, and I totally agreed. But once Shazier and Mosley went off the board, your hands were kind of tied. So there were no, there's a big drop off at the inside linebacker position. So, there was still some safety depth there, of course. So it was a logical selection to take Clinton Dix because all those safeties, they went really, really fast. So I think it was a really good pick. And anything is an upgrade over M.D. Jennings. So definitely it was a good pick.
Yes, that is for sure. Second round, Packers go Davante Adams. They had their choice of quite a few wide receivers if they wanted one. Cody Latimer, Jarvis Landry, Allen Robinson were all still on the board. Did you like the pick of Davante Adams?
I think so. Of the little tape that I've watched of him, I've seen the comparisons to James Jones, and for the most part, I think I agree with that. I think he'll play on the outside, and it'll be interesting to see who gets that number three wide receiver position, whether it's Jarrett Boykin or Devontae Adams. And I think Adams can play outside when Mike McCarthy, you know, puts out their 11 personnel, the three wide receiver package. You know, you'll probably see Nelson, Cobb, and possibly Devontae Adams on the outside, and he can high point the ball. I think he's pretty physical. He has a good attitude. I really do like that pick. I think that was another nice pick, just the receiver position, and I like the way Adams plays.
Do you think Jarrett Boykin, is he destined to be the number four wide receiver in Green Bay?
In my opinion, I think that's how it might turn out, unless Adams, you know, slips up during camp, unless there's an injury, unless he doesn't know the playbook very well, or he's just not there yet. I think Adams will probably be the third wide receiver, and my guess is that Boykin is a good candidate for the number four wide receiver. I think that's definitely possible.
We'll see how it all plays out. Finally, Carl Bradford, linebacker from Arizona State. Been some speculation whether he's inside, he's outside. What do you think the Packers do with him?
Well, Mike McCarthy, once he was picked, I had to do some additional research on him, and I went back and watched some tape of him in a couple games really quick once he was selected, and he had his hand in the dirt at the defensive end spot in that three-point stance. He had his hand in the dirt for the majority of the game, the vast majority of the game, and Arizona State rarely put him at inside linebacker. I should mention that they did, however, put him at inside linebacker in their short yardage goal line package at times, and they put him at inside linebacker very occasionally in some passing situations, and he was a pretty good blitzer from that spot. So he can play there. I don't think Packers fans should expect him to make the full transition to full-time inside linebacker. It would be a bonus if he could, but I think he's probably going to be more of a natural player, an outside linebacker, defensive end, hybrid kind of guy. And McCarthy mentioned that they want him an outside linebacker as well. He shows some flashes. His motor seems to be pretty good. I think if he gets the right coaching and just learns to improve his technique, I think he has some potential.
Yeah, you know what's interesting is I think the Packers have gained quite a collection of, you know, this elephant end type of player between Julius Peppers, Mike Neal, Nick Perry. I wonder sometimes if a player like Carl Bradford and Clay Matthews may be used as situational blitzers from the inside linebacker position on passing downs, things like that. I wonder if that's maybe in store just because the Packers have so much depth at defensive end.
I think so. And I mean, we see it when Dom Capers, you know, when he puts, you know, and here is one of my questions that I pose. Will Dom Capers use the Saito package, the one down lineman, five linebackers, five defensive backs? Will he use that package more this year? And I think Carl Bradford and Clay Matthews, I think you got to put Carl Bradford in that package if Dom chooses to use that. But also, you know, even in dime situations where the 2-3-6 dime, you know, sometimes against mobile quarterbacks, he moves Clay Matthews to the middle to spy. And, you know, maybe Carl Bradford could fit in there somewhere. But I see Bradford as a good blitzer. So, you know, I think Capers, I think he can be really, really creative going into this year with all the different kind of hybrid players that he has.
And now they just got to stay healthy so he can do all that. But Robert, thank you.
That's right.
Yeah. Robert, thanks for taking some time to talk to us this morning. We're glad to have you as a part of Cheesehead TV. So we'll let you get to class and study hard.
Okay, thanks a lot for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right, take care. Robert Olson, the newest member of Cheesehead TV, joining us here at Railbird Central on a Friday morning, Memorial Day weekend. Happy Memorial Day, folks, or happy Memorial Day weekend. Hope you have a good one. At here on a Friday, the Packers are finishing up phase two of their off-season program. You can go check that out in our Packers calendar post here at Cheesehead TV. So it's the very last day the Packers are in the IPW phase of their off-season program. If you kind of remember here, as you go through the off-season, there's phase one, which is last 2 weeks. It's strictly strength and conditioning. They just kind of get those guys back into the swing of things. The next 3 weeks are phase two. It's individual position workouts. It's the wide receivers working together, the defensive linemen working together, the cornerbacks, the quarterbacks, et cetera, et cetera. They don't come together as a team, but they kind of do position drills and work on those kind of things as individuals right now. And today is the last day they'll be doing that, kind of putting the finishing touches on there. The rookies have been, you know, integrated into phase two of the program. So they're kind of bringing the rookies up to speed. So next week begins phase three, and that's kind of when you start, things start heating up. Organized team activities begin. It's a practice environment. It very much looks like your typical football practice. They're not in pads, but for the first time they do wear helmets, and they go through offense and defensive drills. There's not a lot of hitting. They really prevent contact here at this portion of the off season. Not until training camp do they really let them get physical and hit one another. But, you know, there will finally be, 11-on-11, 7-on-7, all those kind of things starting next week. Kind of interesting to see how the rookies fit in. We will find all out about that soon. I think, next Thursday it begins? So a little less than a week away, the first OTA practice will take place in Green Bay. One OTA practice open a week for three straight weeks. I'm not sure if the day, I think the day changes, but next week it's on a Thursday. It's open to the public. If you want to go check it out, if you're within driving distance of Green Bay, it'll be held at Reinitschke Field. So kind of cool. If you want to go take in a Packers practice, see Clinton Dix, see how these rookies are fitting in. It will be open. So, go check that out. Apart from that, it's a little bit slow on the news front this week in terms of the Green Bay Packers. Although yesterday, kind of one item of note, as I know Wes Hodkowitz of the Green Bay Press Gazette reported, and we posted it here at Cheesehead TV, link to it. Newly signed undrafted free agent Colt Lierla. The official numbers on his contract came out, and as expected, this shouldn't come as a surprise, but for the first time it was made official, the Packers did not give him any guaranteed money. Here's a guy, as we say quite a bit, the way to describe Colt Lierla, talented but troubled. And a lot of, there's a lot of risk there from the standpoint that, if any guy's going to fall off the wagon, so to speak, it's Colt Lierla. I shouldn't, guarantee that or anything, but I mean, there's risk there just because of his background. I don't think, you can sugarcoat that any other way. And so the Packers didn't give him a signing bonus whatsoever. He simply has the base salaries. He received a 3-year contract. I think all undrafted rookies do, so that's no different from him than anybody else. He gets a 3-year contract, and basically he will be, he won't get a dollar from the Packers until he plays a regular season game. Or I guess I should say this. He won't count a dollar against the salary cap until he's active for a regular season game.
that all players receive a per diem in the off season, and it's not much. I mean, I think I read somewhere it's a little over $100 a day. You know, just you know, they're in Green Bay, they're working, they're practicing. But I mean, it's just simply a per diem to cover, you know, lodging and food and things like that, necessities. They don't make the money, the big money, until they play in a regular season game, or at least, you know, until they make the 53-man roster. Obviously, there's, you know, game days, inactives, and that stuff all week, every week. But anyway, so official for the first time yesterday, learning the contract details of Colt Laierla. No guaranteed money, so the Packers, you know, if they end up cutting him between now and any time before the start of the regular season, they don't really have to pay him a dime except for the per diem, and that's no different than any other player on the roster. So, you know, just hearing that officially, you know, who knows? I kind of thought maybe they would give him a small signing bonus just because they seem to give that to almost all rookies. But I suppose when you're in Colt Laierla's position and you got to prove everything and the onus is all on you, it certainly made sense that they didn't give him anything there. What else did we have yesterday? Clay Matthews was named to the NFL Network's top 100 list, unveiled this week. I think they unveiled players, 70 through 80 or 71 through 80 or whatever it is. Clay Matthews showing up on the list at number 77 in the NFL. And this is voted upon by NFL players. And, you know, it's kind of like Pro Bowl voting in that, you know, it's maybe not always the most accurate reflection of, you know, how a player really should rank. You know, sometimes it's a little bit more of a popularity contest. But, I mean, I can't really quibble with where Clay Matthews is ranked. When healthy, I think he's obviously much higher. But for the past two seasons, both of which he's missed at least four full games each of the past two seasons, you know, that alone puts him lower on the list in my eyes. You know, he dealt with hamstring injuries, dealt with the thumb injury, the broken thumb, through which he's still coming back. In fact, that'll be a story to follow next week. Don't really see Clay Matthews probably taking much part in the offseason program as he continues to recover. Maybe bits and pieces, but maybe not all the things that he could be taking part in. But yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, you see him being the top paid linebacker in the entire NFL. And you think, well, if he's the top paid linebacker, he should be playing like it too. And I do think he does when he's healthy. When he's healthy, when he's out there, he is awesome. I just love the way Clay Matthews plays, like his hair's on fire. He just gives extreme effort. The way, you know, it's just amazing to me how sometimes he can chase down a play from the backside just because of his all-out hustle and effort. You know, there will be a run away from him, and yet he'll run the running back down from behind. You know, those kind of plays to me are just special. And it takes a special kind of person to make them, and Clay Matthews makes them more than anybody in the NFL, practically. But the thing is, he's just got to be out there. And I do think if he is healthy, you know, if he plays all 16 games this upcoming season, he'll rise in those rankings. He'll go up there once again. He'll be in the top, you know, at least the top 50, probably the top 30. If as long as he's healthy, he's out there. He's shown to be productive. He's still, you know, relatively young. He's in the prime of his career. Heck, you know, Clay Matthews should be ready to have that 20-sack season. He really should if he's healthy. I mean, he's capable of it. Hopefully the Packers have, you know, some other pass-rushing threats to take some pressure off of him. You know, they give a little more attention to Julius Peppers and the other players on the team and maybe that frees things up for Clay Matthews to get more sacks, or at least that's the hope. By no means am I guaranteeing anything like that, but I think if you're the Packers, if you're a Packers fan, that's what you're hoping to see. In world of former Packers, yesterday, former Packers Sterling Sharp and Wesley Walls getting inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. I shouldn't say inducted, elected. They were named. The induction ceremony comes later. And congratulations to them. I guess Wesley Walls didn't spend too long in Green Bay. I think he only played a season or two with the Packers. But Sterling Sharp, obviously, a great player in the time he was with the Packers, and his pro career cut short by injury. In fact, you know, you kind of wonder, I mean, had Sterling Sharp been healthy, might he be a candidate for the Pro Football Hall of Fame? He was that good. I mean, he became there, you know, during the Brett Favre era. Sterling Sharp was catching over 100 passes a year, and I know he set the NFL record at one point for the most catches, most receptions in a single season in the NFL. Did a tremendous job. You know, he was good in college, too, so I'm glad he got that honor. Didn't really play long enough in the NFL to deserve NFL Hall of Fame credentials, although, I wonder if he might be, if he could have been, had everything stayed healthy for Sharp and kind of joined his brother in the NFL Hall of Fame, Shannon Sharp. Both very good players, but kudos, congratulations to both of them as they join a whole huge College Football Hall of Fame class. Man, they name a lot of players to the College Football Hall of Fame every year. It's like a dozen players. But, I mean, there's a lot of college football teams out there, and especially when you're talking about more than just Division I. That's a lot of people to honor. So many of them deserving of that honor. But yeah, I mean, that basically brings you up to speed on what on the world of the Green Bay Packers here as we enter Memorial Day weekend. I imagine, I'm just guessing here, they have the weekend off. I know the players can't. It's actually mandated by collective bargaining agreement rules. They can't practice, or the team can't practice, at least over weekends. I guess you can't stop a player if they want to go lift weights or something like that from doing it on their own. But I know the team doesn't practice. I assume they're off for Memorial Day itself on Monday. But they probably get back to work next Tuesday. And OTAs will start. So we'll get to find out, see these guys in action shortly. I'm looking forward to it next week, see how the rookies fit in, see how the guys who are coming back from injury are recovered, and just see how the team is shaping up. It's exciting times now as we enter the 2014 season and the Packers mount a challenge to get back to Super Bowl glory. But that's going to do it for a Friday morning edition of Railbird Central. This is Railbird Central episode 399. Next Wednesday, we're taking Memorial Day off, folks. Next Wednesday will be the 400th episode of Railbird Central. Looking forward to that. 400 episodes we've done. So we'll see you then. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Caribou. We'll see you later, folks. As I usually say, stay tuned to Cheesehead TV for all your news needs all week long. I leave you today with a song called Kidney in a Cooler from Keller Williams on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go. ¶¶